Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Just thinking how we'll talk about this, of course, with Sal here, the Bills win in Pittsburgh. Were they going to bring that up? Yes, we were going to bring up this game. But just like this is – I know how most football people are wired. There's winning, and there's winning like that, to the extent that the other team can't do anything. The fans are leaving. They're chanting to fire the coach. I mean, it's one of those games. I watched three games this weekend that were similar in this way, including the Bills game. Bears-Eagles. So you're watching Philadelphia, another one of these teams, right? They're good, actually.
Yeah, right.
You know, better than the Steelers. And they're just getting run on to death by the Bears. You're sitting there like, this is impossible. And it just, you're completely emasculated. Michigan by the Buckeyes was this, where they could not get off the field. 20-play drives. They just could not get off the you're home team, proud, all of it. Eagles, Michigan, Steelers, and there may be others. We're just like, I think that that's like the worst case scenario for you, where you're losing at home like that. Sal was there for Bill Steelers. Sal, we talked to Eric Wood earlier and asked him what maybe yesterday compared with through the years for a game like that, where the fans are just so demoralized, you know, and getting to the point that the Steelers fans got to. Is there a game for you like this? What was it like to be there?
Oh, boy. I don't know if I had a game specifically that would be like that for. I think maybe I could compare it to not exactly similar, but when the Bills really started to take over the division and going to New England and beating them after New England had so much success over the years, right? And because I remember one year where they were booing. Like, New England fans were booing at their team, and it was like, oh, my God, like, this is it. Everything's turned here. And that reminded me of it. This game was... Yeah, I mean, the Bills just took their soul. It was incredible. And I'll tell you a little anecdote here. I didn't hear Eric. I don't know if he talked about this, so I apologize if he did already. But right in the fourth quarter starts, they play Renegade, right? We always know they do that. Remember 2019, the Bills kind of made it theirs. Like, we're going to take it from them.
Right.
And, you know, they had Matt Barkley with the jacket, and the Bills did a shot play. Well, we were debating on the radio broadcast during the timeout. Are they going to play Renegade tonight? Because you can't play that right now, right? Like, you can't play that song in this environment right now. They're already booing, and they were frustrated. Well, sure enough, a little while later, they start playing it. And guys, I'm telling you, Bills fans loved it, and Steelers fans hated it. It was incredible. And Bills fans were going crazy. Like, it was their song, and it was charging them up because of the score. And that really brought out exactly everything you're talking about.
Yeah, we talked about this with Eric. And I said, it's one of these moments where whoever, you know that's not the top of the pay scale in any organization, the person that is running the Jumbotron effects and planning when to play those things and whatever. But that's a moment where somebody's got to just, not today. because it just makes it worse. I compared it to when they play the goal horn if your team is losing by six with 2 minutes to go. Like, what are we doing here?
But they do it.
But they do it because it's like it's just the mechanism is in place and, like, you know, whatever. It's the experience. But, man, you got to know better than to play that song if you're the Steelers.
I don't know. I think you do. You just do it. I think it's a bigger story if you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're there,
is.
It's weird. You know, it's
yeah,
just.
You're probably right.
The game wasn't, like, super over either. I mean, it felt like it, but it wasn't 40-7.
The story was, though, Mike, in the stands, like, they're chanting Fire Tomlin, right? Fire Mike Tomlin. They're chanting Fire Tomlin in the stands. And, I mean, it was ugly. It was bad.
Well,
it really was.
Then you play the song, but you just play the whole album.
Right.
To try to drown out the fans. Right. You just play all the Sticks greatest hits.
Here, would you, like, Come Sail Away now?
Let's play that. Let's do all Mr. Roboto.
Yeah, I know. There you go. I love it. I don't know if, again, and maybe you guys touched on this with Eric, but I brought this up on the broadcast yesterday during the game, and I'm telling you, the tenor of the game changed when Josh got hit. Right before the two-minute warning, Josh gets hit by Patrick Queen. There's no penalty. Debatable whether it should have been or not, right? I thought there should have been, but yeah. There wasn't. There's a little skirmish on the sidelines. Now, I'm not saying the Bills didn't come prepared to play, but I thought they were playing a little tentative, like not trying to make mistakes. And then, of course, they made mistakes. And, man, they're in this environment. It's funny. You guys have seen all the right moves with Tom Cruise, right? I mean, you've seen it. And they're rolling in on the bus, and it's that western Pennsylvania hills, and it's just misty November, and it's going to be tough football. When you're in Pittsburgh in November, it's like that. There really is a mystique to it, and you get a little bit intimidated, like, man, like, you're coming into Pittsburgh in this environment. And I think the Bills kind of started off like that. Not saying they were intimidated, but I think they were just afraid to kind of make a mistake. When that happened, I was right there when Josh got hit. And I'm telling you, the tenor of the game changed. And from that moment on, I know the Bills only got a field goal. They went in the locker room. They come out. They scored after halftime. The Bills' attitude changed after that play. And I thought it was really interesting.
I've seen one scene from that movie many times, but I don't know the movie itself that well. But, yes, you're totally right. I mean, the mystique is a great word for it. And the Steelers were – they did look like the Steelers. They couldn't score, but – you know, you expect physical and almost brutal. Take your shots, right? And maybe that can fire up your opponent, and maybe that's actually what happened. And Queen gets hurt on the next play, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. So. And I'll say this. If I had, like, an ability, someone had put down in front of me, can you call the next play and, you know, bet on it? I mean, I was certain of anything I've ever been certain in my life that Josh Allen was running the ball in the next play. Because when he got up, he was pissed. And they were mad, right? And, like, I'm thinking, it's 3rd and 2. Joe Brady's calling Josh's number because he will not be denied in this next play. And he ran the ball, and he got a first down, and Patrick Queen got hurt on that next play.
Yeah, Allen's going whether he calls the play or not.
Seeing as how we're here, let's ask you about something else that was talked about a lot in postgame, and that was whatever altercation there was between Josh Allen and Cameron Hayward. Hayward accused Allen of kneeing him in the stomach. Ivan Zapruder filmed the replay enough to make a ruling on it. But what do you know? Do you have any details, any kind of vantage point at all? I mean, it's more in the middle of the field, not right on the sideline like this other confrontation was. But did you learn anything about what Hayward was on about and whether he had, like, a legitimate beef?
He said Josh kneed him in the stomach. Jenna Cottrell from Wham in Rochester, she was on the field taking video. She posted some video. I reposted it. And she has the video of where they kind of got nose-to-nose with each other. There is nothing there that shows anything that Josh Allen did to Cameron Hayward. Some people have pointed out, though, that it might have happened earlier in the game where you can't really see much, but it's possible that Josh kind of need him to get him off him. What Hayward said was Josh told him, I had to do something to get you off of me. I don't know. I will tell you this. In the locker room after, David Edwards was not happy with Cameron Hayward. I asked him about what I just talked about. I asked a lot of guys about the hit on Josh. And to a man, they were like, yeah, we were mad. That kind of changed and gave us what did Alec Anderson say? He said, we had to get our jaws about us because this was going to be a Mike Tyson fight, right? I mean, Alec Anderson's a great quote. He was, you know, he was great after the game. And then David Edwards, who's kind of a, you know, unassuming guy. I don't talk to him very much. And when I brought it up to him, he mentioned Cam Hayward, and what he did to Josh and how that also was a part of it. So yeah, there was something there. I don't know. And I'm like, what did Hayward like do specifically? I mean, when he got into his face, he was mad at Josh, but Josh really didn't really do anything to him. So who knows?
Yeah, you want to give Hayward some benefit of the doubt that, I mean, he's man of the year. That doesn't mean necessarily much about how he competes. It's just you go through a lot playing that position.
He's a respected veteran player.
Yeah.
Like you've
probably seen it all.
Yeah.
And so to kind of lose it like that, something unusual, he thought.
I wonder, I heard Steve Tasker on my long drive from 3 blocks away to come to Dash's where we're broadcasting today. I did hear enough of their show to hear Steve posit the theory that maybe Hayward was looking to do something for his team similar to what happened with the scenario with Patrick Queen and Allen, and that maybe that was he was just trying to fire up his team by getting, you know, in what looked like a confrontation, and maybe the whole thing was nothing.
Could be. And there's video, and people have seen it. I know he's the man of the year, but he punched Justin Herbert when he's down on the ground, and there was something he did to Joe Burrow. And hey, I mean, look, Josh is also the guy that he gets nominated for the Bills, you know, man of the year or sportsmanship award guy. I'm sorry, not man of the year, the sportsmanship award.
And yet he's also talked about
as the biggest trash talker, right? I mean, so there's a dichotomy in there for these guys somewhere.
There's not exactly guardrails on those awards.
And he's a flopper, Allen.
Right.
And my instinct
probably hurt him on the Queen play. Like, I thought right away, like, his reputation for trying to draw calls probably hurt you there.
Yeah, and I would say to that, my instinct is usually, because fans are so one way normally with this stuff, is like, well, that's, I don't know, you're probably just biased, but I can't believe that wasn't a flag.
Right? Yeah, I agree.
Just like,
it should have been a flag.
That's such a penalty. The stuff that gets called that sometimes seems so light compared to that, I mean, he's down, he drove himself into him on the field. I can't believe that wasn't. Where was the space left?
Mike Hayward said after the game, too, to your point, he said, well, the reason he was upset is they protect these quarterbacks, they're not going to protect me. That's what he said.
Well, I guess he learned a lesson. Maybe he found, he realized that there's some truth to that. Sal Capaccio on the Wester hotline. So are the Bills, I don't even want to say it this way, are they back? Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a very good day for them. Back to the running game. I listened to you this morning and was texting you. You mentioned how they wanted to run it, and they did. I tweeted how they wanted to out-Pittsburgh, and they did.
Yeah, that's right.
The rest of the season mostly should avail themselves to doing more of that, and that is how they want to play. I mean, the Bengals get run on. The guy the Browns lost yesterday, Collins, is a big loss for them up front. Mm-hmm. And as I texted you, Sal, look at Philadelphia against the run. That's sitting there in week 17. And the Bears just destroyed them at the line of scrimmage. So maybe the way the schedule lays out will give the Bills a chance to do more of what we saw yesterday, although maybe not quite to that extreme.
I'm also interested to see without Milton Williams what the Patriots are over the next few weeks. The Bills play them without him. Giants will probably try to run at them tonight. But so you're to your point, Mike, you're right. And last week leading up to the game, I was on with you guys, morning show. It was the most layup analysis leading up to a game on building a game plan, if you will, that I could ever give. It was easy. It was easy for anybody who watches, pays attention, covers this team to understand what the Bills were going to do or try to do. All you had to do was listen to Sean McDermott. That's all you had to do. And he said how many times about their quarterback, Josh Allen, getting hit, how often he did, and how unacceptable that is. And you knew they were going to go into this game. Remember I joked I was half expecting to see, like, receivers in pass pro drills, Bulldog, right?
Right,
I mean,
right.
It was the most easy analysis ever to say, guys, the Bills are going to protect Josh Allen like Fort Knox this week. They're going to build a fort around him, and they're going to protect those offensive tackles by going quick game. That's what they did. That's what they did. And you know what? That doesn't mean that it's going to have to work. You can have that game plan all you want, but I give them a lot of credit. This is a game where they knew exactly what they wanted to do. They knew exactly how they had to do it, and they executed it. And that goes to Sean McDermott and Joe Brady, and I think especially Aaron Cromer and Austin Gunn for getting those two guys ready. That's Austin Gunn is, by the way, Cromer, the assistant O-line coach. And this was just, I have a saying, you guys know this, every game has its own DNA. When what I mean by that, when I say it to people is, You're not playing the Chiefs this week. You're not playing the Bengals this week. You're playing the Steelers. You build a game plan for the Steelers. You build a game plan for the Bengals next week. Every game is totally different. They built a specific game plan for the Steelers, and they executed it flawlessly, and I give them a lot of credit for that. That doesn't mean that it can work next week, but you didn't have to have it work next week. We'll see where that one goes.
Nine sacks, too. I mean, life is good when your opponent cannot function at all.
Oh.
And, you know, that's also to the Bills' credit, but the Steelers were inept on offense in this game. I mean, they barely even had the ball in the second half. So how did that come together, Sal, for you with all the injuries, the guys in and out of their lineup on defense, including yesterday, but they certainly made it work?
Well, a couple of things. I thought, again, let's go back to, you know, give Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich credit, which, by the way, McDermott a little while ago was talking in the in his press conference on Monday, and he was talking about the Joey Bosa play, the strip sack, and the Christian Benford touchdown.
Yep.
And McDermott interestingly said Bobby made a great call there. You know why that's interesting, right? Because that's meaning Bobby's calling the play, right? So is Bobby Babich calling the defense?
I was wondering yesterday why McDermott didn't have his glasses on and the call sheet and everything. Mm. Like, maybe they went back. I don't know if I'm overreading it.
That's a great point, Mike. I didn't think about that. That's right. I think they had a good game plan, but, again, this was a really thought-out game plan that, to me, was simple analysis. What did we say all week? All week, leading up, saying Aaron Rodgers doesn't throw the ball down the field. He has handoffs. His throws are handoffs. They're near the line of scrimmage. And what the Bills did in this game, to me, they went into this game with the same game plan they played Tua Tagovailoa. Take away his first read. You come up, you take away your first read. And in this game, Christian Benford shadowed DK Metcalf. We're going to take him away right out the line of scrimmage. Not going to let him give any breathing, any room here. You're not going to breathe right off the line of scrimmage. Take away Aaron Rodgers' first read, because what do the Steelers want to do? They do not want to have Aaron Rodgers sit back there with that wrist and sit and have to run around and take shots. So they're going to get the ball out of his hands quick. They're either going to run it or do that. We knew they were going to run the ball. They came into the game looking to run the ball. They went with a lot of heavy personnel, and they have a lot of heavy guys they can do that with. So how did the Bills counter? They went with three linebackers, a base set. And, guys, I'm telling you right now, the Bills are going to be faced with a very interesting decision, because Shaq Thompson is making this defense better than what it was with Terrell Bernard in the middle. And I know Terrell Bernard's been dealing with the ankle injury, and I do think that's a part of it. I also think it's because teams are running on the Bills, and Terrell Bernard is more of a sideline-to-sideline guy, where Shaq Thompson is more of a downhill guy. And I think that they're coming to a point, when Terrell Bernard gets healthy, if Shaq Thompson's also healthy, they're going to have to make a decision.
Yeah, I wonder if that becomes maybe something of a timeshare, like we saw with Poyer and Hancock, although Hancock barely played yesterday. But, like, you know, passing down versus running down, that kind of thing. But I agree, Sal. I'm not ready to agree to Shaq Thompson coming off the field anytime soon.
And look, I think Matt Milano's playing better. And I think that's partly because he can do a little bit more when you have a guy next to you that's being able to go downhill and you have to account for him. It's also because I think in these base defensive sets, when teams are running the ball, you know, Matt is such a high processor. He can get to where he needs to go. I think he's playing better. Mike, you asked like what the difference was. One of the big differences in this game from field level, and then I went and checked right before I went on with you guys, tackling. They made tackles in this game. They
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
have not been the best tackling team this year. They made tackles, and this was the number one offense in yards after catch they faced. The Steelers, they're very good in yards after catch. Get the ball out, get the ball in guys' hands, let them go. And I know they didn't complete a lot of passes, but they were able to get guys down, and they were able to tackle ball carriers. And when I went and looked, and the only place I could find the game missed tackle stats was PFF. 4 missed tackles in this game. That was it. 2 by Tre'Davious White, who's not known as a great tackler. You know, you don't want him making a lot of tackles out there, but 2 by him. But the other was Cole Bishop and 1 by Shaq Thompson. That's the lowest they had since they had 1 against the Jets in week 2. And most of the season, there's a lot more than that.
Sal, I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but like, they've been single plays where they've had 4 missed tackles.
That's
a really good point that they had that buttoned up yesterday. Well, is there anything injury-wise that we need to know from McDermott talking today? Because I haven't been following along like I usually would with us being out on remote like we are. So fill us in if there's anything that needs to be known here.
There is very big news today. We learned today that Tyler Bass will not be back this season. He had surgery. He had surgery recently. He will not be back this season. So presumably it is Matt Prater's job for the rest of the season. That obviously stinks for Tyler Bass. McDermott said that it just didn't respond, the rehab. So he ultimately, you know, had to have surgery. The decision was kind of made for him by that happening. The other major news today is Joey Bosa has a hamstring injury. He came out of the game late. McDermott said, we'll see where it goes. Now, from my vantage point of the sidelines, he was in the tent. He came out with trainers. He didn't go back in the game. They ruled him questionable. He went right over to where the D-line coaches were, and he was talking with them and everything. It wasn't like he kind of, you know, wasn't like he went to the locker room or sat on the bench, you know, disgusted. So you hope that it's nothing serious, but you guys know how they play these things with these hamstring injuries and these soft tissue injuries. Older player with an injury history, I wouldn't doubt he misses time, but we'll see about that. Deion Dawkins is still in concussion protocol, so we'll see how he progresses this week. And then McDermott said, excuse me, Terrell Bernard, Spencer Brown, Dalton Kincaid, and Josh Palmer are all improving, and they'll see where that goes.
Look forward to talking about the Bengals this week. Very different matchup. Some interesting history with the Bills and the Bengals, of course, so looking forward to that already. Sal, thanks for today.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That's our dude Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case once your outlet.
We talked about this earlier. Rodgers, you know, it's probably not how he thinks, but I'd be fine if I didn't have to play Buffalo again in my life. Torn Achilles, busted nose, 40-0 here last year.
Yep.
Gross.
Yeah.
He's 3-5 career against the Bills. 2 wins with the Packers at Lambeau.
Josh Allen, rookie.
And Trent Edwards running out of bounds on 4th.
Okay, nice.
And the other is the game where he tore his Achilles.
He gets the credit because he started.
He gets the win.
Yeah.
That shouldn't. No. Baseball would never.
No. No.
You'd have to give it to that punt returner. Gibson.
Yeah.
Or, right. You know, Zach Wilson at least, but
sure,
Rodgers.
I mean, not Rodgers.
4 plays?
Not this guy. No.
So if you throw that out, 2-5. That loss here with Mario Williams.
Right.
Was pretty brutal for him. He's done, right? He's 42 tomorrow.
He was done when he left Green Bay.
Yeah, okay.
That's
3 years ago.
But, yeah, I mean, I think he'll be done trying. Yes. I think now that he went to, you know, a team that was more ready to win, that just needed a quarterback to help elevate them to, you know, look at the AFC. It's an arms race. We need to get a guy. Oh, how about future Hall of Famer Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, let's try that on. Nope.
That was supposed to elevate their offense, and
I don't know.
They're not this bad every week, but still. 803-0550 for your calls. Football Monday on WGR. We have the Sabres tonight, but not until after 7:30, so pregame at 6:30. We haven't taken calls today, but we'd love to do it. We're out at Dash's Market on Hurdle. Mission Give Where You Live to help the city mission. New hats, gloves, scarves, toiletries, personal care products, all appreciated. Whatever you're able to donate, new sweatsuits, non-perishable food items as well, here at Dash's or any Dash's location through December 19th during regular business hours. Mike Schoeb and the Bulldog back after the update. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.